Isn't it this evening? This morning? It's just to fall back, I believe. I don't know how many other people follow what I do also, is I do not fall back. I keep my clocks, except for, of course, a cell phone. I have to change that because that's automatic. They will change the time for you, your phone carrier, but I literally keep the clocks the way it is because I figure, you know what, I get an extra hour of light, and since my sleep has just been, I don't even know what sleep is, horrific. It's like I'll take whatever I can get, you know, fall back. I just spring ahead. I kept it for a long while as well. You know, I don't like the time change like this. Just keep it the way it is, you know. Like, there's a lot of states that voted and they're not going to do the fall back, politically fall back and spring ahead, and just keep it the way it is. Just, oh God, everybody's already in a foul mood and just screwing with your sleep, and it screws with you. Everybody's already in a foul mood, and the world's crazy, and global warming, and sorry, brain. And then with the economy, United States, and just so much stuff going on. People, was that guy who was in his 70s trying to drive through the, did he drive through the nuclear power plant gate and try to run over security officers? And everybody's losing a flipping mind. It's like a country song waiting to happen. Everybody's losing a flipping mind. No, I'm not going to try to sing it. Today has just been a crazy day. It's like the fatigue is off the damn charts. The treatment meds are starting to literally, a treatment drug, the main one, starting to really affect me. The fatigue in that. And it's like, good Lord, you know, last time I experienced this extreme of fatigue was, I would have to say, through radiation treatments that were pretty damn brutal, but I've never experienced one of the drugs to literally just, you know, kick in the ass. I'm trying everything. I really am. I'm listening to people online. I was Caring Ridge. There's a fellow been contacting me offline. Hold on for a minute. I'm keeping my fluids. It's not working either. Different types of British teas and do this and that. I had this vitamin and, you know, there's some I can't mix with the meds, and, you know, I do this and that. I try to sleep and I've done herbal wraps and I'm just like, the hell with it, you know. I'm so flipping just, I don't know if fatigue's the word, tired, fatigue, blahs. I mean, it's like, it is. It's like the flu. I know I've said this before, since being under oncology, but it's like this drug is just kicking my ass. And I wasn't having such bad side effects. I actually had a good week. I was able to go to the movie theater. I was actually able to, like, you know, clean up well, so to speak. I always say that. And then it was like the next week, it just wham, just the drug just hit me every which way. The brain fog, and that I talked about in Caring Bridge. You know, you have to, as I said before, you have got to make sure you stay on top of the not so normal labs, oncology, and for Cancer Institute's an osteo oncologist who I reconnected with over the last 3 weeks, ran blood work, and we got the rest of it back at Visa now state. And I was running extremely low on some levels. I mean, like a 3 on some levels where I should be at least a 30. So it was, explains some of the fatigue. But majority of it though can, you know, things can be altered through treatment drugs, folks. You gotta understand through oncology, but when you're dealing with things, I'm gonna say this, with men, prostate, and, you know, other hormones and chemicals in your body, with cancer, and ladies with messes with, you know, some people say they experience some changes in hormones and things with breast cancer. That's true, but ovarian, uterine, cervical cancer, things like that. Ovarian specifically, I'm told, is really the top one to really screw with your hormones and your chemicals in your body. And you got to remember what you take in, you know. These tumors and masses, they feed. So, you know, you're feeding yourself, but you're feeding, you know, what's going on, so to speak. But it'll really just throw you the hell off. And who knows how long things have been really levels thrown off, because nobody's really... Really, oncology is about the only ones of your specialists that are going to really get, you know, dig deep with more of the not so normal, we'll talk about it, you know, once in a while, great while, labs when it comes to your hormones and chemicals and that. But one oncologist felt like just looking at me and said your complexion is not good and you can just kind of see it in your face. So let's just draw some labs and see what happens. And I talked about this on Caring Bridge, but I thought it was important to talk about it for yourself, my journey, because I know there's a lot of women out there who have gone through the oncology journey, or if you're still on it like I am now, and you've realized you feel like, I don't know, like you have the brain fog and you're just feeling the horrific fatigue and you may be nauseated all the time and you wonder, does this have to do with the mass, the tumors, does it have to do with treatments, or is there something else? You know, go with your gut, because I mean, I felt like there was something, just something was off, and I was absolutely right. But so was oncologist. So I go in a week and a half, and we start me on replenishing, which calls for going on different treatments to replenish back. And it's going to be a very, very, as I was told, a very, very slow progression of, you know, with pharmaceuticals to bring levels back that definitely need to be brought back to a little bit more normalcy. Because, you know, sometimes when you deplete, your body starts depleting itself. You're more susceptible, especially when it starts affecting chemicals, your brain, your overall thinking, and I just get a lot of brain fog. It can affect your heart. You can have cardiac problems. You can go into cardiac arrest, I was told. You know, you could start really losing your memory if you have dementia, Alzheimer's, it runs genetically in your family, which I do. On one side, you know, you're more susceptible, 50% more susceptible if you do not replenish what, you know, your body is lacking, and with the ovarian tumors and masses and going through treatments and stuff, you got to be really careful to stay up on those labs. But these are labs that were not drawn, and it's scary to know they were not drawn for 5 years. So where were they at 5 years ago was nowhere, as I was told. A three is at, you know, it goes from zero in some of these labs to 300, 350, and drawing a three and a seven on another test is not, without getting into too much specific stuff. I talked about this on Caring Bridge, and with that bleeping some of the private, you know, things out of the lab work, and that it's not normal. It's not normal. Now I'm like, I understand, like, okay, now I get it. Why? Sometimes I'll think of something I want to say, but I can't figure it out, or my brain can't process this, and I say, I feel like I'm in a fog. There is a legit reason for it. And the thing is just to have to slowly replenish what I'm losing. And that's the thing, too, is it's just, you know, it gets old. I can't say enough. All this stuff gets old. You know, sometimes I wish that people that just wanted to be shit starters like you the other day, if you could just step in my shoes and just go through all, you know, step in my shoes and go through how I feel and my journey and what I'm dealing with, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be and have been the way you are. You would have had more appreciation, respect for people that are sick, especially more respect for specialists who work hard to take care of the patients. But you don't have any respect for me, and you have no respect for any specialists. You have no respect for people that are sick because you don't act like that, you know. I did a podcast, you know, a response to this individual, and I took it down. I talked to legal counsel. They're like, there's no purpose either. Take it down. This person hasn't stopped. They're never going to stop in their opinion. That's the truth, you know, I took it down before him, but, you know, let other people deal with things like that. You know, I'm not going to go back into that stuff. You know, if I really want to go back, I mean, I'll just go ahead and bust out a episode of Running on Coffee. Yeah, exactly. You know, I talk about immaturity. Maturity is somebody hang up on you and you call. Well, if you're an adult, you'll call back and talk and stuff. And you call somebody and they'll hang up. They'll tell you you're mature, but if you're a dog, you preach about adult conversing and that. Honey, I've always been a communicator. I'm always one to talk. You're just not. You hang up constantly, evade, avoid, and run. You've always been like that. Nothing's changed. It's worse. Can't even get 2 seconds in. It's click. Same old song and dance. You know what I mean? It's like some said, you know, hire those that be, is it's not change, it's never going to change. This is why I told you to stay away. Stay away from individuals, it's never going to change. It's gotten worse, and I told you it's going to get worse, and it gets nowhere, so just keep staying away, you know? And they need to quit contacting you, period, you know? And that's that, but I was just, you know, dealing with that. It's like I'm already feeling like SH star T, you know? Been just sleeping a lot. You know, because your sleep's all over the place and you're laying around a lot. And I'm not one, I don't like to lay around. I like to feel accomplished, and I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what it is health-wise. I'm just not a lazy-ass person. I don't like that. That's a pet peeve of mine. I always have a list of things that I want to attend to and do, and I have been successful getting, you know, what I need to get with the house, finish my some things for the season, but then when this hits, it's like, you know, you try to fight against the grain, and it just didn't work. So it's like I realized that I just have to just, you know, lay my cards down, so to speak, and be like, okay, you know, I'm not going to get much done, you know, and if I get a little bit done daily, like today, which was actually tomorrow, so yesterday, then it's like, you know, have to be content. You have to be content with what you can get done. You know, when your body starts like, listen, I'm tired, you know, you got to listen to your body, you know, mentally, yes, you know, like myself, I want to keep doing things and that, but physically, I just can't do it. I've been so damn fatigued. So it's like, you know, for someone who always preached less is more when it comes to pharmaceutical and that, and I'm realizing now more is more right now. At this point, more is more. The more help I can get, and that means pharmaceutical means, you know, prescription drugs, the better I'm going to be, and that's the truth. But we have constantly had to change things, and I was told that you will always have to change things up. You're going to feel yucky. It's going to be hard, but there's really no going around it. You just got to go through it. And that's like the greatest advice ever from oncology is it's just not going to be easy. It's not going to get any better. And it's got a lot worse since last time they saw me. Things got a lot worse. But I was just glad, you know, to be back and go full circle and for them to see me and come face to face and look at the changes and things and where I'm at. And I made it past prognosis, but, you know, it wasn't really for... I look at it as a, from my point of view, as the patient, is it such a great thing to live past prognosis? Is it really? I mean, for patients, is it really such a celebratory thing, living past your prognosis? Because when you do, and things still progress, it's an accomplishment, it's a feat. But what you don't realize is when you get past prognosis, is the greater the suffering, and the greater feeling uncomfortable, the greater feeling tired, fatigued, the more you realize and you see your own changes within yourself. You know, you lose muscle mass, you're tired. You never want to eat. I mean, it's like my appetite has been zero for a while. I gained like 2 pounds and then the week of hell where I had a good week and then I'll follow up with 2-3 weeks back to back bad. And then the little weight that you gain, you lose 3 times as much. And that's usually how it works for me. You don't want to eat or anything, you're nauseous, and, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, the flip side is making it past the prognosis when they know they cannot control things and things are getting worse, and, you know, we don't have any options left. We're just putting Band-Aids on with pharmaceutical, you know, companies and what I need, and now to have to replenish out of my control because it has to be done. It's like, is it really such a celebratory thing, making it past prognosis? I don't think so. I think if you're able to look at the crystal ball and see how you're going to feel and what you're going to be dealing with when you make it past that threshold, whether you're given the gold standard 5 years, maybe you were given 3 years, you know, I mean, everybody's situation is different, your patient's different, and they go by imaging and what they're dealing with and when treatments don't work and things start growing back right off the bat after 3 weeks. That was my situation. They see things, okay, here we go. Give you a year, travel when you need to, but when you get to 5 years, it's going to be really hard for you, and things are going to get worse. And then you go back and you see, you know, multiple oncologists, the team that I had, and you see a majority of the team, if not the two that retired, you know. And they tell you, listen, it's going to continue getting tougher, and you're going to feel more crummy, and you're going to be more tired and feel more fatigue. And really, it's just about keeping on top of everything. And it's a hell of a lot. You know, you go from being on nothing to figuring out, okay, what alarm am I setting on my phone to take which pill, when am I due, breakthrough pain, then you take this, and you take that, and taking that, now we have to replenish this, replenish that, and is making it past prognosis such a celebratory thing? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because there's a lot of things that you still mentally want to do. And enjoy life, and you realize that you've got such great limitation, you know? And let's just say, dealing with the same circle of shenanigans of you have zero respect for anybody sick, and that's my strong opinion. And you have absolutely zero respect for any of my specialists. You never have. You know? It's one word, shit starter. Sorry, it's the truth. When you deal with stress from people like I did, you don't realize is how bad it strikes your immune system and your body. And when they say absolutely no stress and they mean it, because people stress when they're intentionally doing stuff that you're going through can be lethal. Okay? But people who don't give a damn about you don't care. That's, I mean, was that your whole goal? Kill me off? I mean, I don't know. I don't have any other opinion for it. You just have zero morals and there's no decency, period. But, you know, I had to evade, avoid, and block and, you know, do what I had to do because I'm not going to go through that again. When I went through that beginning of oncology with the same toxicity, I mean, it about killed me. It was crazy. Things I went through, it's documented. It's nuts. Wouldn't have had judges and attorneys and people and chief of police and people saying things and stay the hell away from this individual or these individuals because it's not healthy. And I don't think you know the full picture, but you stay the hell away from them. Stay away. It's so for your own good. You know, came out of my grandmother's mouth. You stay the hell away. I'm telling you, better off without. Stay away. Stay away. You know, and then when you bring and you walk into that toxicity and that stress again, of how miserable you feel because it affects you. And when they say no stress, they mean it. So I'm saying this for the patients out there. When your oncologist and specialist tell you, or their palliative care hospice, they tell you no stress, they goddamn mean it. Stay the hell away from people like that, that stress you out. They have no respect for you, let alone any doctor, let alone anybody in the world who's sick. Stay the hell away from them. A simple advice, stay the hell away, okay? Just stay away. You have to, you know? Do what you need to do. I realized where the problem was, and who was to blame on it was Eric. Try to figure out blocks placed, and I said how, you know, there's a folder and things like that. When I ended up going to the phone carrier and asking how are people able to still had left a voicemail and to contact when the blocks were on was because of this. Eric had contacted, because we have a legal agreement through legal separation, that he keeps the phone plan and that I remain on it. A secondary phone I got, you know, through a different phone plan, but the one phone, you know, because it was an older phone that's on his plan still, is still on there. And what happened is he reset. It's called family allowances. It allows you to place blocks and do not calls and never calls, calls never allowed and calls always allowed and blah, blah, blah. And what happened is he reset that. And this just shows you how fast that toxicity dysfunction, like it reminds me of like a really bad disease. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Sorry. You know, it's my opinion. How fast it just infiltrated everything and just like creeped like that fast. It's almost made me feel like this just people just sitting there every day contacting my phone to see when they would be able to intercept and not be blocked anymore. I couldn't figure out how the person left a voicemail. And then I had a legal counsel who told me, a member, as you need to literally... on part of their staff, they said, you need to contact your phone carrier because it almost is like the family allowance, the blocks are off or something's not right. Did they have like something hacked through their system or something? And I ended up calling and they said, there's no blocks. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, family allowance is active, but there's no numbers registered. And I'm thinking, there we go. I said, why is that? And they said, well, because, and then they had explained to me how Eric had called to reset everything. Because he had a couple of numbers blocked on there. Instead of removing those blocked numbers, he just had them reset everything. So it reset everybody who's on his plan. And guess what? That's how I got the crazy calls and the crazy all over again. That's right. I just didn't respond the same way. They didn't want an adult. They hung up. Call them, hang up. This up, 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 click. It's always, nothing changed. Except for me. My response is different. You know? Doing the old videos like HVAC Henry and Pastor Garrett's is because I feel so shitty, excuse me, physically, and I feel so run down, and I'm so damn tired and fatigued, and when I feel like this, I do not want to feel sorry for myself. I like to laugh, and I've been like this throughout my journey dealing with my health, is I'm not one to feel sorry for myself, and I don't do pity parties, because face it, I never got any gifts if I did, so I do pity parties, but I like to laugh. I like to laugh my ass off when I'm feeling like utter shit. Excuse my French. When I feel this bad, I like to laugh. I don't have the energy to be doing skits. But I definitely, well, I did do a witch. And actually, I still have that. It's just, I don't care what it is or whatever, or who the skit or the character, what it is, it doesn't matter. I just need something to laugh. You know, everybody has their way of dealing with their journey with their health. Some people like to read books. Some people just like to tune out. Some people like to just tune the whole world out. I like to laugh. I need something to laugh. And I was going through and cleaning out the podcast, and you know, you always have to clean it up at the end of the year. And I found all those videos at the end, and I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a revival for the next month because I never laughed so hard, you know? And then I remember doing these skits was the time that I'm dealing with the dysfunctional toxicity and realizing that, you know what, my outlet, choosing of my outlet to get through those times was laughter, because the great skits and the characters and the craziness was created during the hard times. That was my outlet and that was my laughter. I continue sharing the old videos, but literally this was the hell time. Constantly being drugged into court, constantly just having this and that and this and that and, you know, and this and that and this and that. And just because people don't know how to adult, they don't know how to communicate, they don't know how to work through their own problems or their roof, so they project, which is a form of narcissism. And they look for the easiest target, or somebody they hate. Sorry, I feel like nothing but hatred. Sorry, you know, that's how I feel. Because I don't know how else to look at what transpired, which is documented. There's no other way. I have to agree with trauma therapists. There's no other way but to say hatred. That's it, you know. But to somebody sitting around, what were they sitting around waiting for that moment that the blocks were magically released? Because, I mean, there's no other explanation for it. It was absolutely crazy. I mean, yes, when you put blocks on, there are different types of block features. But when somebody's unhealthy as hell and scary as hell and unpredictable as hell, you got the damn blocks. I mean, and it's the blocks where I don't see you contacting me, texting me, or nothing. You could do it all day long. I never get it. There's no folder or nothing. Eric had reset this. And I told him, too, and it wasn't an argumentative thing, but I told him, you know, why is this going on again, right? I mean, I literally had to talk to him, like, this is what's going on. What do you mean? What, we know if this all over again? All over again? When's this going to stop? You know? I said, because you called T-Mobile, you had a couple of numbers removed. Instead of removing the numbers saying, I need these numbers, you reset the whole family allowance. So you left it vulnerable for the toxicity to seep in again, like some bad virus. And look what happened. Never had any of this going on, was over and done with, wasn't contacted, got the hell left alone, you know? And you did this, and this is the result. And he was shocked. He didn't argue about it. He didn't dismiss it. In fact, he called T-Mobile and was like, listen, you know, need to have all those numbers back on. Every single number back on. Family allowance active back on. I'm texting someone, and it's like you got such a brain fog. I'm thinking, I'm texting my birth father, and I'm literally texting somebody else connected. Well, I wouldn't say connected, but connected. I had to literally text him back and say, oh, I'm sorry, so-and-so. Sorry, I didn't mean to send to you. You know, but I know now. But it is thinking, how the heck did I remember their number? Because I'm going through my phone, and the locks and blocks aren't on, so these numbers are popping up in group numbers that are set in groups. And I'm just, you know, I'm stressed out. I'm not feeling good. I got brain fog and stuff going on. And then I accidentally send text. That's the truth. I got screenshots. Truth. You know, but you'll have people make more out of it. It wasn't anything more out of it. If the person had an issue, they could have texted back. You know, because the blocks weren't on there. We didn't realize till the next day. And they knew it was an accident. I don't know nothing to do with them. It was an accident. We all do that every once in a while. You send a text or something or email and you end up sending the wrong person. It happens all the time. I had it happen when I used to work corporate. I'll send the wrong message to the wrong client. And it was like, oh, shit. Excuse my French. And then you realize it's like, oh my gosh, right away. Try to retrieve it. No good. You know, sorry, so-and-so. I meant to the wrong person over the wrong client. It happens. But quit, you know, don't be that kind of person. Don't be a shit starter. Make something where it needs to be. You know, gotta grow the hell up. Don't do that shit. Excuse my French. That's annoying. It's annoying. Sorry. You know? But figure it out. That's what happened. I'm like, good Lord, Eric, man, just quit. Just quit doing stuff, you know? You gotta think before you do things, you know? You wanna remove some blocks over. Don't go just doing it easy way, just eliminating the whole family allowance, because that just released everything, you know? And then the monsters came out of the closet, and they literally did. The monster. See how else to say it. And then the problems, like that. Wasn't even 24 hours, and there goes the problems. You just don't do it, you know? And you got to, once again, as I told him, you know, you have to still, even with legal separation, you still have to, as you agreed, you have to communicate when things involve me. Just like if something, a decision or something happens that involves you, I have to as well. Because you don't want to go, have to go back and sit down, and we have to go in front of an attorney. We take another level, we go in front of a judge, you know, be able to be adult, civilized enough not to do that stuff, you know? That's the truth. But that's what happened, you know? So I was wrong, but I wasn't wrong. There are ways, means that you can block people on your phone without contacting your phone carrier, literally having part of a plan, which is part of a plan that he has on his phone, which is free family allowance, is part of the plan, which you can literally block and intercept people literally through the phone carrier. And what I was talking about is blocking people on your phone and not going to that next step. Because there were people where I have them on that next step to the phone carrier, and they were the ones that got through. Now, it makes perfect sense, you know? It just stopped not happening again, as I told Eric, don't have it happen again. You make decisions, you do things like anybody else. You have to contact anybody involved. It's just being an adult. You can't go making decisions, doing things. Because you know what happens once again? It ends up in a big mess. And the universe speaks, and it claps, and it wants to teach lessons. You know, it has nothing to do with anybody on earth. It's just the universe. And all SHRT breaks loose some way, shape, or form. And this is result, you know? Yeah, it is what it is. You know, I'm just tired dealing with things, you know? Dealing with people. Let me rephrase. I'm tired dealing with people. The same old thing. This is why I sometimes say, grow the hell up. You know, go get counseling. Figure out how to communicate. Be an adult. Be effective about it. But most importantly, sit down. Donate your time with hospice. And sit down and realize, you know, what it's like and how people feel, you know, when they're going through things that are pretty damn serious, you know. Don't be, when people are under care of oncology and other specialty care, don't sit there and be a shit starter. You know, that's the most immoral, inhumane, unhuman thing you ever do. Oh, there is nothing good about it, and every intention, in my opinion, evil. There ain't nothing okay about that. That's not okay, you know. And if you can't, don't be around personal contact. Don't the hell bother them. Don't bother me, okay? Easy as that. Then there'll be no problems, no shit starting, no stress, no nothing. You know, you continue your life, and I continue mine. You know, that's just the way it is. I'm not the same person. I'm not going to get into the same old song and dance. It's stupid. It's petty. It's childish. It's immature. And I just don't have time. And to be honest, my time I have, I'm not wasting it on people that I've wasted time, precious time, and too much of it before. I'm just not doing it. You know, my mind frame's different, you know? But now, you know, I figure I'd talk about it. I talked about CaringBridge, but a little more in depth, obviously. But I'm here, you know, I'm limited how I'm going to talk about it. I don't need to put names and stuff on here. But that's what happened. So you have to be careful because, you know, every phone carrier has a plan with family allowance, whether it's called family allowance or something else, where you can block numbers and people never to call, not to call your line. And then you have those block features everybody does on your own cell phone, no matter what kind of phone you have, smartphone, Android. Okay, they're different. They're completely night and day. I had to go through tech support with T-Mobile to figure it out. And there it was. Eric called in this day. And I'm like, oh, there it is. And then there's those numbers blocked, calling in, texting in, and there you go. I mean, it was legitimately figured out. You know, I go through trauma therapy. It's not about emotion anymore. I went through that emotional part with things in my life in Ohio with psychology for many, many years. You know, almost a decade. It's not the same I'm going through. It's logical thinking with trauma therapy. We're past emotions. Now we're thinking logic. How did this happen? There's a reason this happened. Somebody or something, there's a reason this happened. Because if somebody's getting through your blocks and they never could before, then something happened. And the logical side tells you, let's not go with what happened or how we feel or how somebody acted. Let's go to the beginning on how this happened. How is this able to come through your phone? Let's look at the phone part. Let's look at the beginning. You know? It's changed my way of thinking and how I handle problems and people and things in life. I look at the logical side of how it all happened, you know? What is the source of the problem? Not who's the problem, who's doing what. What is the source of it? Where did this problem start and originate from? Where is the origination date? Where did it start, you know? And that will explain everything. And it did. I'm like, well, there's a problem, you know? And you know, and I have to say, you know, me and Eric have had a fair share of disagreements and stuff. And, you know, I'm logical thinking. When I discuss things with him, I told him, I'm not arguing with you anymore, and I haven't, and I won't. And it's logical, you know, where the problem began. You know, if he wants to walk away during conversation, that's his choice. That's his reaction. You know, if he doesn't want to adult, that's his decision. And I tell him so. Okay, well, conversation will not be talked about. When you're ready to talk about it and we're able to adult together, then you can let me know. That's it. I don't argue nothing. That's how you just, it's it. You know, I don't have, and I don't want to, and I'm not going to waste my energy. And emotional things waste a lot of energy, no matter the emotional response, no matter what it is. I mean, even laughing, let's think about it. Even laughing takes some energy from your body. But laughter is a positive. Getting into the same old song and dance, emotional and toxicity and dysfunction, disagreements, and one adulting and this person not adulting and that adulting, that's too much damn wasted energy. That's negative wasted energy. So it's just this easy. When you find yourself in it, it's just stop. Leave the conversation. Leave the situation and stop. I don't care if you're in the middle of a sentence. Catch yourself. Tell yourself, this is energy. Why am I wasting it? Stop. Stop. Walk away. Hang up. Walk away. Leave. You know, just leave. You know? I'm not talking about somebody who says, oh, you can call an adult conversation and stuff, and then they hang up on you because that's all they've done. I'm not talking about that. You know, because I'm going to prove myself, which I did. Oh, you ain't talking, you call, an adult conversation. This is already what I dealt with. I go calling this person to hang up. You're telling me to grow up. I don't know how to adult. Come on now. Come on. Do the same thing you've always done. Once again, I call, you hang up. Hey, whatever. You know, whatever. It's your choice. Don't faze me one way or another. You know, I'm an adult. I'm going to talk. Whether you like it or not, we agree to disagree, have it a slice of pie or a bottle of water. I don't care. I've always been like that my whole life. I hit things head on. You know? I'm not going to let things just linger in the air. Because the past never leaves. It will always be your present till the day you die. You know? That's the truth. I don't have any skeletons. That's your decision to hang up. Not mine. You know? Move on. Next. You know, just learn not to talk to you anymore and communicate because you're not. You haven't. And nothing's changed on your end. Plenty on mine. But just stop, you know, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You know, get to find out what that stress does. Sick as hell. And then you feel even more sick. And your body just can't adjust. My body can't adjust. It can't handle it anymore. Physically, it can't. Wasn't looking good. You know, and I was always told now by oncology, you know, you ever have to go to the hospital, Kim, and you have to go to the emergency room, is, you know, bring some clothes and stuff because they're going to keep you. You know? Can't let stress get in your life, you know, and it snuck back in. Now I know why. But don't let people take part of your life. Don't let them, because, you know, there's drugs and treatments and things that can be downright deadly and fatal. And there's reasons that your specialist oncologists and hospital doctors tell you no stress. You can't be around stress on this stuff. There's a valid reason why, you know, it can affect your heart rhythm. It can affect, you know, it's just stay the hell away from anybody who has no respect for you and no respect for your specialist, okay? It's just stay the hell away. It's that easy. Stay the hell away. Do what you have to do. Stay the hell away. Walk away, you know? And like I say again, I said before, you know, you can't go, you know, serving people from your cup if your cup's not filled first. You got to make sure your cup's filled first before you can go giving your cup to others. You know, I'm not saying that's always the scenario, but, you know, when it comes to your health, you got one life, you know, it's not just a bad day. When you deal with stuff that's chronic and you're on different drugs and really serious therapy drugs, your treatment drugs, it's not just one day. That stuff stays in your system for a while. It alters things. You know, a lot of these treatment drugs from oncology are to get rid of bad things so you can get over this part when you're off the drugs and you go through healing. And you can have good days and go through good things, happy memories. Okay? But don't go walking in stress, letting stress come on and damper things. Because it can alter how the drugs affect you. Don't give people that power. Don't give nobody your damn power. That power is yours. Don't give nobody your damn power. Period. You know? Just don't. And I'm getting ready. I'm like, you know, I got to get in the shower. It's one thing, I got in the shower. It's a good day. You're able to get in the shower and you push yourself to get in the shower. And that's where I'm at. It's early morning. I think I'd rather just did what I needed to do. I got up, keep your blood flow going. It's important. You're taking medicine, you know, get yourself a hot tea or something. It'll help dissolve things, depending if you're, whether it's injection, whether it's like mine, it's like a dissolvable and, you know, paper and whatnot. I'll get into that. But, you know, keep up on your fluids, set your alarms, remind yourself to get up and get something to drink. Keep yourself hydrated. It's extremely important, but also to make sure you get up and you move around. Your blood flow is important too. You know, don't sit around too long. Set your alarm, do something for yourself. But I'm realizing, and I was warned, that some of this stuff will thin your hair and you'll lose some hair. And I'm like, you know, now it's starting to hit. I thought I was on the safe side and okay, we want to deal with it again because I've dealt with this before and it's like, here we go again. And hair starts growing back, and now I'm at. So I have a darker, it's number 78 that Adore. I'll put another picture of it. Creative Image Adore. You can get it through Amazon, like under $7. You know, this will last you two or three, you know, depending how much hair you have. If you got a lot of hair, probably one bottle. But it's vegan, cruelty-free, and it doesn't have all the harsh chemicals in that. It's a semi-permanent, but it lasts a really long time, and it's extremely shiny. Super healthy for your hair, and for those who have thinning hair, and while you're going through treatment drugs yourself like I am, or you know, maybe you just have something else going on, or it's hereditary, this is a really good go-to color if you want to give your hair a break, especially during the holidays, and you know, well, not through the holidays, but through winter. A lot of people wear beanies and hats and things like that. Give your hair a break, whether you're a lady or a gentleman, because a lot of men color their hair as well, and it's extremely healthy, and it's just overall, you know, getting color and back into your hair and doing something different. And like I always say, you still have to do something nice for yourself. When you're going through trials and tribulations in life and times are tough, you still have to find a reason to smile. And of course, oh my God, the hell you have to find something to laugh about. And I'm going to continue sharing the crazy videos and skits and characters. And you have to remember, this is all the time. This is the whole time I'm going through a group of individuals, just like an ice pick. Now that I'm on the other side of it and I see, and I'm with trauma therapy, and we've dissected what happened and what they were doing. It's like he says, intentionally ice picking somebody over and over and over again. And every time you pick up an ice pick, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're dealing with this while you're going through oncology treatments, intensive treatments documented, and they know this and they're doing this stuff intentionally. As he said, it's downright scary. It's a liability. It's scary as hell. You know, as he said, this is why you had superior people warn you. Just stay the hell away and cut all ties, because this stuff is not healthy for you. And they knew what was going on. They saw this stuff. They were there. They read it. And they were not okay with it. Downright scary. And that was my way of dealing with it. Was literally to laugh. You know? It to create just crazy, funny-ass skits. You know? Because when I felt really just stressed the hell out, I would literally watch the skits. And I would laugh every single time. And I realized going through and cleaning out the podcast over the last, 72 hours, that when I started running into these skits and I saw them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I laughed the same, if not harder now than I did years ago going through all this stuff. You know, that was my go-to. You know, it was a way to keep my sanity. I would have probably had a nervous breakdown dealing with the toxicity, dysfunctional craziness that was, they were just ice picking. And it's not just saying this. It's not a pity party. This is a truth document. It was never okay. It was downright disturbing. And now that I'm out of it and I can look back and I can put myself as a third party outside with good therapy, it's downright scary as hell. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be around that stuff. I don't want to be around it. Yeah. Should never happen, but I'm not going to put myself in any position like that to deal with it again. I'm just not, you know? But laughter will get you through anything, because it got me through that part of my life. And I believe it to be true for anyone, you know? And also, you know, important for any patient, I don't care what you're going through, is you have to every day find something nice to do for yourself, to be selfish once a day. You know, take some time, whether that's something simple, doing your nails at home, getting yourself a nice new brand new winter blanket, you know, a heating pad, something, brand new pair of socks, something small, maybe your favorite candy, maybe a favorite dessert, maybe make yourself something, maybe your favorite, you know, coffee, you know, tea, whatnot. You still gotta find something positive for yourself, you know, but don't let people get to you. If you've been to the same old song and dance, I'm just telling you about experience, wisdom. Don't let them get a second chance. There's no second chance. You've been through something, that's it. Toxicity creeps back up. You nip it in the bud as fast as you goddamn can. And you get people to help you nip it in the bud. And you move on. Period.